Well, I would like to say welcome again to everyone on this Sabbath day. I'm not used to being this comfortable. As most everyone knows, we are gathered here in Las Vegas with the senior elders to do some planning, to plan ahead for what's coming upon this earth. And this is the title today, Planning Ahead. And that's what we are here doing. We're seeking God's guidance as we prepare for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth in a very short while. I remember back when the emails started coming in, and this was discussed last night in the meeting that we had. And I remember when it was so overwhelming, and we just had emails everywhere. And it let us know that we were not prepared at that time for what was coming. But it let us know what was ahead in our future. It's a different situation now, but time is running out. And we are here with Ron and Laura, the senior elders, and all the evangelists to discuss our job and what we need to be prepared for as Jesus Christ's return is just a few months away, and we are in the countdown. It's not long. Some of us in this room have lived through the abomination of desolation that has brought us into this end time. And it is the end of an age that is upon us as the Church of God. And that is why we are here. Our very name, Church of God, PKG, says it all. Preparing for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. And that's what we are here doing, preparing. We're here preparing for the kingdom of God. And if you would be turning to Matthew 24, in verse 14, it's a very familiar scripture, and most of us know it by heart. But it says, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end would come. And in verse 15, like I said, some of us sitting in this room lived through the abomination of desolation that took place. And we know what ensued after that abomination. It was the abomination that made desolate in the Church of God. And we lived through this. We saw the deception that followed. And we saw the end results. And we're a third, third, and a third that Ezekiel told us about. And that only a tithe of that last third would come through. So we are witnesses to this abomination that took place. We are here now to plan ahead. The remnant that God has brought back out of spiritual sleep. The remnant that will be here at the return of Jesus Christ. And we are here planning ahead, looking ahead for that soon coming kingdom. And time is running out. And we are here at the countdown of the return of Jesus Christ. We can count the days, and it's approaching very rapidly, and we don't have much time. So that is what we are here doing this weekend, discussing God's plan and his plan for all of mankind. And God told us in Matthew 24, in verse 45, it's just down a little bit, and a question was asked. And he asked, who is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? And it's a question that was asked, and in verse 46 we find, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all of his goods. And in Matthew 25 and verse 14 we find the parable of the talents. And it explains to us that the kingdom of God is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. This is an interesting assessment, because that's the way it is at the end of an age, as Jesus Christ is preparing to return to this earth. And he has given different abilities and placed people in different positions. And that's what we are here discussing, the government of God and the job that is before us as the Church of God, PKG. Verse 29. To everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we can see the job descriptions that were given. And it was different for each. But there is one purpose behind it all. And that is to prepare for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. And it is those sitting in this room that will be on the front line as the kingdom starts to come to this earth. It is you. Let's look at Matthew 4 and verse 12. It's when Jesus was talking. It's when Jesus heard that John was put in prison. And it said that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, down in verse 15, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Let's notice verse 16. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. And it's the same today. The people of this earth are sitting in the shadow of death. And there's a lot of death coming upon this earth. And most are sitting in the shadow of death and don't even know it, brother. But there is a light that will start to be shined as God's truth is revealed. And as we move toward that soon coming kingdom, the two witnesses will begin that light forward to focus on the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And they will have the same message that we find in verse 17 that Jesus Christ began to preach. They will begin to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand at some point. In Matthew 4 and verse 18, it's when Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And it's the same for those sitting in this room. All of you have been called by God. And it's what you will become. You will become fishers of men as the kingdom of God moves closer to coming to this earth. And it's an awesome thing that our God is about to do upon this earth. And in verse 21, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And so it has been for most of us. Most of us have been separated in some form or another. Not all, but most. Been separated from parents, brothers, sisters, children, and friends. But there's coming a time in the near future that it will be different. Matthew 5 and verse 1. Let's see what Jesus was saying. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, it's the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that's in our near future. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. This is our future, brother. When the great God of this universe sends his Son, Jesus Christ, to set up the kingdom of God, then you will really realize how much you have been blessed. I don't think we fully understand at this point in time, but there's an awesome time coming. Verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. All of us are familiar with this one. And say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And that's an ongoing process even to this day. We are still being persecuted. Verse 13, God tells us, you are the salt of the earth. It is the church of God that will be used for the job that is ahead, to prepare a people for the return of Jesus Christ, to plan ahead, to look ahead, to seek God's guidance. As time is running out for the church of God to prepare itself for that return. And we are the salt of the earth. It's the analogy that is used. The Church of God, PKG, preparing for the kingdom of God. And it will be like salt sprinkled out over this earth to finally teach man the true way of life and the way to peace, the correct way to live, to bring them into the city of peace that is coming to this earth. And you are that salt. Verse 14, it says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And at the return of Jesus Christ, this will become a reality. The people of this earth will begin to comprehend the true light, the true way, the way to the city of peace. And it will not be hidden from this world anymore. Once Satan is chained for that 1,000 years, it will be as God says in verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. And this will begin to take place. The truth of God will flow around this whole earth. And God says, it's like a lampstand. And it will give light to everyone that is in the house, those who want this way of life. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So it's a way to live, brethren. And the church of God will be an example to all the people that are left upon this earth, to let their light shine before men so that they will know the way to the city of peace. Verse 17. Jesus said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. And this is so twisted by the Protestant world and all the religions of this world out in this earth. Jesus said it very plainly that he didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. He did not come to destroy, but to fulfill what was being said in this book, to bring about the city of peace. And he said, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 6 and verse 1, God says, it's talking about when we do good or do a deed. And he says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. It's not what it's about. It's not about being seen by men. It's not what your job is. God says in verse 3, when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. It's not about being seen. And in verse 5, it's where Jesus was telling them how to pray, and let's look at what he said. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. It's not about being seen. What this is saying to us as the church of God, especially to the ministry, that they are never to do anything to denote an attitude of superiority, or look at any position, or look at my position. If you do, this is very putrid in the eyes of God. God looks for a meek and humble spirit in those that he works with. And never are we to portray ourselves as being better or as being seen, as God puts it. Never. Verse 5, assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. God knows man, brother. He knows every path that we can take. He knows every path that this mind can take. And verse 9, in this manner, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's what it's about, brother. The kingdom that has come to this earth. It's about the great God of this universe and what he is doing. It's not about us. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's about God's will. And that's why we are here. We're seeking God's will so that we can plan ahead for the kingdom that is coming to this earth. And in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what it's about, to bring the kingdom of God to this earth so that men will have access to the city of peace. Verse 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. And that's what we are here seeking, the spiritual food from our Father in Jesus Christ, so that we may move forward in his plan to bring about his kingdom to this earth. And we do ask him that he feed us, daily, and that he feed us this weekend, so that we may know and understand fully what his will is for us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And it's what we are constantly praying about. Satan is rampant. And not to fall into the traps of this society, Satan's world. not to let the evil one tempt us beyond what we are able to stand and able to resist. We all sin, but there's been a way made for you and I to deal with sin, and it's through the Passover. Jesus Christ became that Passover so that we can be delivered from sin. Matthew 10 and verse 16. We know that persecutions are part of our lives. And when we are brought into God's church, we start to understand what it's all about. And we heard at this feast about how good and evil was created and how God will turn that around and use that to build his church. And we understand why the persecutions come. God told us in verse 16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." And we understand this statement very well. And this is a very good analogy. It is a hostile environment in Satan's world. And God has sent us out as sheep into that world. And God tells us to be wise as serpents, as harmless as doves. And we heard about this even in the announcements. We're to be wise and not cause another brother harm by the things that we do. Sometimes even without putting any thought into it. So we are to be wise in the way we react to everything. And it is the way we are to react. And in verse 17, there's a warning because it is Satan's world. And he tells us to beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. And we understand this was written a long time ago, but it applies to us at the end time just as well. Man is the same. So we do have to be wise and not throw our pearls before the swine, brother. We understand that this was written to the apostles, but it still does apply. And some may have to come before the authorities in our future. This just may take place. Verse 19, "And when they deliver you up, do not worry about what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." In verse 24, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master." And that's what we are here discussing at this elders' meeting. We are discussing the job, what it is, and how we are to react to the surroundings around us. And we are to be like our teacher. We are to be planning ahead, looking ahead and preparing for the kingdom that is coming to this earth. And look at the job that is before us so that we can do God's will, not our will. The way that he wants the job done. We are here to use that as our example. We are to use this book as our example. And the examples that Jesus Christ set before us in this book. The way to deal with one another. The way to deal with mankind, even in a hostile environment. This is still Satan's world. And God gives us instructions. Matthew 10 and verse 27. "Whatever I tell you in the dark," in other words, whatever I tell you in Satan's world, "speak in the light. Speak to the church of God, brethren. And what you hear in the ear," in other words, what you hear from God, "preach it on the housetops." To the church of God is what it's saying. "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." And that's true. They can kill this physical body, but they cannot kill what God has given to you once you have been begotten of God's Spirit. but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Talking about God the Father, the one who has the power over life and death. The power over the grave is what it's talking about. And he has made a way for those that rebel. And he can destroy that body through the grave, never to be resurrected again. And in verse 29, God tells us, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. So God knows it all. And he knows man. In verse 30, he tells us, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. All of them, brother. The eternal God of this universe set in motion a plan before time ever began. And those sitting in this room are part of this plan to carry out his will to prepare a people at the end of an age for the return of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he knows you. And the way he puts it, he knows the very hairs of your head. He knows all of your thoughts. And the hairs of your head are all numbered. God has a purpose for you. He called you. He set you apart. Gave you his truth, and yet now you are a part of that end time remnant that will be here to usher in the kingdom of God upon this earth. Some to be a part of the 144,000, the spiritual temple that is coming to this earth, and the rest to live on into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And God says the very hairs of your head are numbered because he called you. He knows you. And if you desire this way of life, you have nothing to fear with what's ahead. Nothing. Verse 31, God tells us, do not fear, therefore you are of more value than many sparrows. You are a part of the plan of God at the end of an age to see the most awesome event that will ever take place upon this earth. The return of Jesus Christ. That's what we are here in Las Vegas planning. Planning ahead. Looking ahead, seeking God's guidance as we move through his plan. And as we move forward in his truth. And time is running out, brother. It's very short for the return of our Savior to this earth. Matthew 11 in verse 25. Jesus said, I thank you, Father and Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes, to you and I, brethren. And he has chose to call you at the end of an age to learn as a child learns what his will is. It's what we are. We are students at the end of an age to learn about the great God of this universe. All things, verse 27, have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And brethren, that's not very far away. The millennium is not that far away. And we are on a countdown. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brethren, we've lived in this world, and I cannot imagine ever going back into this world to that way of life. God says his burden is light, and I found that to be very true. When I view where we have come from, it's an easy yoke. It's an easy yoke to bear. And I wouldn't change any of it. And I cannot imagine being any other place. There's no other place on the face of this earth than I would want to be than in God's church. To learn more about our God and about His Son, Jesus Christ, there's no other place to be. Matthew 13 and verse 10. Jesus was speaking in parables, and disciples came and asked Him. And they asked Him, "Why do you speak in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." Well, brethren, this is short-lived now. We're on a countdown to when the mysteries of the kingdom of God will be revealed to all of mankind. And that's what we are here preparing for these mysteries that will be revealed to the whole world. There are a lot of people that will have to be baptized in a very short while. And we are here preparing at this elders' meeting to prepare for the job that is ahead for the church of God, so that we can be prepared for these masses when these mysteries are revealed to them and when their minds are being opened to God's truth. And that they and when they realize they have to repent and be baptized. And that's what we are planning ahead for all the baptisms that will take place. And we are here seeking God's guidance and the guidance that He will prepare for us as the church of God for the future. Verse 12. "For whoever has, to him more will be given." So there's going to be a lot put on you elders. There's massive baptisms coming to the church of God. And God says, whoever has more, more will be given. And he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. So, brethren, there are choices that have to be made. You have to want this way of life. We have to want what God is offering. And if you do not want what God is offering, God says that He will take it away. Verse 13. "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. But they will in the near future." This was a prophecy from Isaiah. And Isaiah said, "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them." Verse 16. "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Talking about us, the church of God. And you do hear and understand. You understand the plan of God. And you understand what the Church of God PKG is about. Preparing for the kingdom that is coming to this earth. Preparing for the massive baptisms that will take place. Because they will begin to hear, brethren, in the very near future. Verse 17. "For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see." You live at the most awesome time in man's history, when you will see the massive baptisms take place. And you will take part in massive baptisms as people start to repent. And as the events start to unfold upon this earth, the prophets of old desired to see this, brother. To see God's Spirit poured out upon this earth. And you have a front row seat to see the kingdom of God being set up upon this earth. And I hope you understand what you have been offered. been many down through time that have desired to see what you have been offered. Many. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. You have more understanding at the end of an age that has been revealed to the church of God than they have. You have the complete plan of God placed before you. With this past Feast of Tabernacles, you have been given all the pieces of the puzzle. They are in place. You have all that you need to move forward into truth. At this time, Matthew 16 and verse 24, Jesus said, there were some instructions. And he said, take up the cross and follow him. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. It's not what it's about. It's not about us. It's about the plan of God and what God is bringing to this earth. It's not about you. It's not about me. But it's about obeying the great God of this universe and his Son, Jesus Christ. And he said, follow me. He set the job before us. It's the church of God. And he leads us and guides us in planning for his return. And we are seeking God's guidance as time is running out to prepare for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. And we are following the great God of this universe as he leads and guides his church. Verse 25, God tells us where our focus should be and what our priorities should be. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? It's a question, and you have choices. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, you need to weigh this way of life against Satan's way. And you do have a choice. Verse 27. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And then he will reward each according to his works. And we understand this. In Matthew 20 and verse 1. Let's turn over and take a look at what was said. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard, for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard. And whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. We know that that's a parable of the workers in the vineyard. And he says, whatever is right, he will do. We can see it's just like you and I. When we learn the truth and God called us out of this world, he told us to count the cost with what he was offering. And we did. And we agreed. We agreed to follow this way of life. We also know what many will do by this parable. God tells us in verse 16, some of the last will be first, and some of the first last. And he tells us that many are called, and few are chosen. And we've seen this take place even in the church of God. We saw many that were called, and they're not working in God's vineyard anymore. We can see once God calls us into this way of life, we have to choose to follow the God of this universe. And we have to do it the way that He has instructed. He is the one who hired us to work in His field, His vineyard. But there is a correct way to do the job in His vineyard. And not all that are hired to work in the vineyard do the job correctly. But that is why we are here as the Church of God, PKG, discussing the job that is before us to work in God's vineyard and to plan ahead. John 13 and verse 35. Verse 35, John 13. By this all will know that you are my disciples. And that's what we are, brethren. We are students. And we are to learn what the job is and what's before us. And this is how God says we will know one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. God's love, brethren. The love that comes from God, and it's evident when you look around in this room, you can see God's love. And it is the bond that unites all of us. It is through God's Spirit that we are united, and it is God's love. And let's see what was asked and what the reply to Simon Peter's question was in verse 36. And he asked, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. And we are on a countdown to His return, brethren. There's a spiritual application to this, and there's a physical application. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. So we know the dangers that are before us. We know we can be an unfaithful steward so fast that our minds can't comprehend it sometimes. And we wonder what even has happened to us sometimes. And this is what happened to Peter. When he saw the scourging of Jesus and the physical pain that was inflicted, he denied him three times. There's some awesome and awful times ahead of us, brother. And it's a warning of how fast this mind can turn, even when we think we are holding fast. And it shows how fast we can go into denial and deny our Savior. John 14 and verse 2, God tells us, in my house are many places of abode. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Most of us know John 14 by heart anyway. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So it is an answer to Peter's question. We understand that God is building His spiritual temple. And we do know the way, with more understanding of what God is doing by the sermons given at this past Feast of Tabernacles. The return of our Savior is very close. And we will be able to be there. All of us, whether we are in the spiritual temple or whether we live on into the millennium, if we hold fast to God's truth. John 15 and verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And you and I are the work in God's vineyard. But God says that He is the vine dresser. And so the job that is before us, God is preparing us. preparing us for the massive baptisms that will take place. And we are to be planning ahead, looking ahead, seeking God's guidance as we move forward through His plan. In verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. So we can see we need to do it God's way. And we do need to bear the fruit the way that God says to bear fruit. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bring forth more fruit. And it will, as the baptisms take place and the people come into the family of God. It's like the stone that struck the image. It will grow until it fills the whole earth. A wonderful time. When those baptized are attached to the vine, and they begin to bear fruit, the fruit will begin to bear fruit. And it's like teachers teaching teachers to teach teachers how to teach. It's what will take place. And it's what we are here doing in Las Vegas. Verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And it can't. And that's the reason we are here seeking God's guidance at this elders' meeting. We understand where it comes from. It comes from the great God of this universe and through Jesus Christ, His Son. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's how we are taught. We are taught through Jesus Christ, and we are the branches. And we are to prepare for what is coming upon this earth, and we are planning ahead for what's in our future. He abides in me, and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And in verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And brethren, Jesus Christ laid down his life so that you and I can be here at the end of an age to see God's plan start to be fulfilled for the millennial reign of his Son. And that is what we are here doing at this elders' meeting, to do what our God commands, to move forward as time is running out, to plan ahead, to plan for what we are to do in the ministry, in God's church, to prepare, as God says, and as our name says. Verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And you do understand the mysteries of God, brethren. This last booklet has explained the rest of the mystery of the ages. And God has made it known to you. You have all the pieces of the puzzle because you are a friend, as God calls you. And you know his plan. Verse 16, You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. It's what we are to do, brother. We are to love one another as we move forward in the job that has been given to us as the Church of God, PKG, to be preparing for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth and to plan ahead for that kingdom, to look ahead and seek God's guidance.